I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. Father, we're such a privileged people to know our Father, to have your way here today. Let me get out of the way, and you fill that way that is in the way. Because, Father, even in Sunday school, when he said you come into class, a lot of people say they go to church and they're the church, but that's not how it happens. The Holy Spirit, Lord, we invite him to come and dwell among us, teach us and lead us into all truth. That, Father, that give us the spirit of discernment, that we know, that we know, that we know. When the truth is being spoken, we celebrate for the freedom of the truth. We celebrate for your presence. Because, Father, we know that we know that we know. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Father, we don't have any joy outside of you. It might be a temporary laugh or whatever. But when the pavement hits the road, when we just get down to walk it out, you're all in all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of this is Walk With Me. And I had already made up my mind, if you don't care, if you agree to walk with me, raise your hand. Agree to walk with me. Okay. Well, that's good, because I felt like the Lord showed me, ask him that again when you're done, because we're going to hit a few nails on the head, and all the nails are on us, by the way. And 1 John 1:7, the scripture says that if we'll walk in the light as he's in the light, walk in the light as he's in the light. It says, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanse us from all sin. And why I'm dealing with this is because I feel like the Holy Spirit led me to about the fellowship and about church and what church really is. We haven't had dinners lately because of sicknesses, hospitalizations, different things and stuff like that. But I got some good news for you, and I didn't write this down in any notes, that Jesus is very much alive. He's sitting on the throne, and he's paying attention to every one of us. Now, I don't know in your dealings with God, but I know that he knows the very hair that's on my head. And the scripture says he knows the very hair that's on your head. Now, I know, because I've seen my wife do it a lot of times, I know when she's brushing her hair, there's a lot of hair that comes out. Okay? So he not only knows the ones that falls out, he knows why they're falling out. Sometimes we'll say it's because we're old. But what I wanted to tell you this morning is God has been dealing with me, and he has taken me on a trip. Now, I talked about this a couple weeks ago in Sunday school. It's a Watchman Nee book, and there's some things in here I want to read. But the first thing I want to do is tell you God wants us to carry the Ark of the Covenant with us anywhere we go and everywhere we go. The Ark of the Covenant is his presence. Because if he's not in it, it's not the Ark of the Covenant. He wants us to carry it. And he wants us to be the children. We talked about the children of Israel back there. I tried to keep my mouth shut back there. We talked about the children of Israel. Well, when Moses went to Mount Sinai and he came down, the children of Israel had made a golden ark. Had golden God. They had made a golden image. And one of the first, you know, it's in the first four, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, you know, and stuff like that. Well, that kind of angered God, and God went ahead and told all the people that were in the 12 different tribes, this is what I want you to do. Now, this is the part you're not going to want to walk with me in, but I believe that this is the part that God wants us to walk in. He wants all those that
worshiped the golden image to die. And he ordered the tribes to kill their people, no matter who it was. But only one tribe obeyed him, and that was the Levites. And he made them the chief priests, and he meant for all the people of Israel to be chief priests. So you're sitting in here today, and here's what the chief priests get to do. They get to carry the ark. They get to go before the people and step down into death, just like Jesus stepped down into death for us. They get to step down in death, and then they get to watch all the disobedient walk over in front of them. So we're here today to carry an ark for all those that are disobedient, but we're carrying it to his glory. So I mean, I have read so many things. It says, when the children turn from him, when there is a divided heart, strange God somewhere, then God hands his people over, this is what it's going to be hard for you to accept, to defeat, and the enemy gets them at every turn. God will not bless unholiness. He only blesses holiness. Okay? Then they think that God, for his own glory's sake, must deliver them. I'm thinking, this is a familiar ground with me. I think this is sometimes the way we think. Well, God won't let that happen because, you know, we're his people. And it says, but God is keener to vindict his holiness than to uphold his glory before men. When a servant of God fails badly, we want the matter covered up. And we pray along that line. Boy, God, we've seen that over years gone by. God, for his glory, to save his servant from open defeat. That's how we pray. Even though there is no secret defeat, God knows when we're successful and when we're not. Okay? But God's way is exactly the opposite. He will let his people be defeated in the eyes of the world to show that he has nothing to do with unholiness. His glory is always associated with holiness, and he will never cover up unholiness. His glory can be better maintained by the defeat of his people than by their victory in the state of unholiness. I don't think we realize so much how awesome God is. God wants us this way. By the way, I'll get to some scriptures later to show you that. So he's willing to let his ark be taken in order to show the Philistines and to all the world that he will not associate himself with the cause of his people while there is unholiness with them. The ark of God is taken, but the ark can defend itself. I read that and I jumped. The ark can defend itself. Now in here, do you know that God don't need you? That's kind of hard. He don't need me. I need him. We need him. The five lords of the Philistines, their five capital cities, and their god, Dagon, were all judged by the presence of the ark. Here we have a divine principle. If needs be, God will let his people down to vindicate his holiness. In the very act of vindicating his holiness, he will maintain his glory. The ark of God is a testimony, and it is firstly a testimony to his own nature, which cannot be associated with unholiness, even in his own coveted people. So we need to check out where we're at. And the way we do that is remember the scripture that says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's 1 Peter 1:16. And a lot of people say, well, that can't be. But I tell you this, I believe because God said it, it already is. When he said, let there be light, he was speaking to the light, you know, to the darkness of the light. But there's, okay, I think, Anisha killed me when you said it, I think our country's in bad shape. And I think God has a reason for the country being in bad shape. You know, God can correct us in every move that we make. I mean, he can do this and do that. I got it wrote down here. I'll just read it. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You want this world out here to change? Let's call on God for this world, but in right in here. Let's call and ask him, let this world change. Because when we speak and know that God's changing this world, which is the same as conviction, when he convicts us and we walk in it, they see it and they benefit from it. Not only us, but they benefit from it. Why? Because they know, first of all, God's on the throne. We know what it takes to get to him. We repent, like David, like you said in Sunday school this morning. That was the difference between David and Saul. David knew the way to God was through repentance. You know, and I think it's Psalm 51, verse 10, where it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Man, that was right after David had repented about Bathsheba and the whole thing. And then the scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. I mean, how could that be denied? I mean, that's the kind of God we serve. He knows how to restore us, and he puts everything in motion to go like this. You're holy because I said you're holy. Not because you are, but because I said it. A lot of times we wait to get, let's see, we don't like to participate. We become reactive. I hated that when I was working. We become reactive instead of proactive. If we'll get proactive in what the word says, we'll be what the word says. Now, everyone in here, and I don't know everyone in here that well, but I know you've heard this. A greater day's coming. A greater day's coming. I tell you not to lie. The truth is, that day is now. Today is the greatest day on the face of the earth. Today. All the people that are fighting these diseases and stuff like that, I'm just going to tell you what God's revealed here. He's told me, he said, you made him a God that you fear more than you fear to breathe. You made it more than what it is. I'm the God that takes it. I tell Josh all the time, I said, let's talk to God, the doctor. And I said, the one that lives in you. God lives in you. He's not out here just to be an occasional benefit. You want God to benefit you? Take him inside of you and then let him come out of you. That's a relationship. That's how things work. And then I quoted it this morning in Psalm 16, verse 11. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence. And I go like this. One of the greatest ways to delight in the Lord is be in his presence. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Thy word. Now, I know that I know that I know that we're all sinners saved by grace. Okay? I know that. And I don't know if all of you got to go to camp ever, or if, you know, whenever. But I've been with Josh a lot, and at night we sing songs. And he's, I don't know that song. And I'll purposely sing a camp song. I got the book. I took the book home, and I've been singing songs. And Josh also says, well, you know, I just can't sing that good. Aw. Aw. When it says make a joyful noise to the Lord, do you know anything's better than nothing, better than silence? Now, I heard, because the world, I mean, we made up songs like the silence is golden. I mean, you know, stuff like that. But I started singing this with him the other day. I found a new way of living. I found a life that's divine. I've got the fruit of the Spirit as I'm abiding in the vine. 1 year after many years, this was a camp theme. abiding in the vine. That was the camp thing. Well, you know what? In my looking at things and looking at the world today, I'd like to go back to camp. Not because I was just younger, but the spirit was different. We had a brother named Brother Shepherd, Miles Shepherd. He always told us, this and all, he'd go to camp, he'd always tell us, he'd say, Brother Clyde, I said, yeah, Brother Shep. And he said, you know, what would really be nice if we had camp for 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks. And I said, why is that? He said, because, he said, the spirit starts moving and by Thursday it's having its way. By the way, I got saved on Thursday. Anyway, he said, by Thursday it's having its way. He said, by Friday, he said, we're baptizing. He said, and everybody's getting together to be one. Now, think of this. This is usually how it is. When we come together, when we come to have fellowship, to break bread is what it says. That when we come to break bread, that breaking of the bread makes us one. Because I read where it says that you break out of one loaf into 1,000 pieces. It's still one loaf. Now, I challenge you today, do you know who the bread of life is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who cometh down from above. He's the bread of life, and he's here this morning. He's here to feed you. By the way, as I said, I believe everyone that came this morning carried somewhat of that bread with you here today. It came right through the door. You came not to go to church, but you came to be the church. You know, your burdens are light when you're carrying the Lord. You know, there's so many things that God wants to do. He wants to walk in total victory from his head to the sole of his feet in Josh. Josh said, God wants to heal me. Well, you know what? Johnny Baker said, I believe he will. You don't get that. Johnny's got cancer. He said, I believe that boy will see. God will allow him to see. And you know what I told Johnny? And I believe you can walk out of that cancer too with God. Hold on to his unchanging hand. We can do things that the science and doctors and everybody else is saying, that won't happen. But I love it when they see it will. One of our grandsons, Parker, the oldest one, when he had his back surgery. He had already had Josh for a patient, and then he had David Morgan for a patient, and then he had Parker for a patient, so I got to know this doctor real well. And one of the first things that doctor said to me that impressed me was that he said, your son's going to have to be in braces for at least a year to walk, because Josh was an habitual toe walker when he was 7 or 8 years old. I said, oh, okay. So I told my mom. Now, I'll tell you what, telling my mom, I didn't have to tell God, because I knew what mom was going to do. But here's what the doctor said when he went in and did surgery. He came out and said, Clyde, I got something to tell you. I said, okay, what's that? He said, somebody in your family knows God. I said, what? He said, I could, all of the experience I've got, tell you your son was going to have braces. He said, but I can tell you right now, he won't need them. So I went home. I was anxious, excited to go home and tell mom. And I guess, I don't know, it was the anticipation of God answering her prayer or what, but she stopped me at the door and went like that. When she did like that, you didn't say nothing. She did like that. She said, let's pray God for the answer to prayer. This is a household I was raised in where they believed in it. Well, you'd have to know. The Shekinah glory was in that house, not because we lived there, but because the presence of God lived there. Well, anyway, so I'm going to keep on telling the story. Then when David got hurt, David Morgan, Chuck's my brother's only son, when he got hurt, I went over, and they was sitting over there with their pastor and everything, and real nervous and real scared and real unsure of what's going on. And Chuck come over to me and said, I don't know, Clyde, I don't know. I said, well, I said, who's your doctor? He said, a doctor named Alvin Crawford. I said, God's got everything. God's in control. And I could have told Chuck the story, but I didn't. I waited.
God wants you, God to be glorified, amen? He wants all the glory, amen? He deserves all the glory. So Dr. Crawford walks in, and I get up, and I walk over that way. He said, Morgan, David Morgan. And he could look at my brother, and he didn't say you two all twins or anything like that. He just said, you're brothers, aren't you? And I said, yeah. Then he goes, brothers. He said, you got the same mother. I go, yeah. Well, he looked at Chuck, and he said, well, you know that I haven't got no control for this. You know who's in control? God's in control. He said, your mother believed it for Josh. He said, she's going to believe it for him. When, needless to say, came out of it great. And then when Parker got operated on, and I don't know if you were here, you seen the story of Parker would bring, he talked about it. He brought his brace up, right? And he said, here, is this what they said I was going to be in? And so for so long, and he wasn't, but I want to get back to Dr. Crawford. Dr. Crawford walked in there, and he knew me. He didn't know Oscar and Margaret, but he knew me, and he wanted me to tell him it was okay to say whatever you felt, you know, because people don't like, sometimes they don't like religion, so-called religion, to be brought up in serious moments like this. And I said, go ahead. I said, he's the pastor of the church. I said, we're okay here. And so he started telling me, he said, well, first of all, he said, I got in, was operating on Parker, and I had prayed about it, and Parker went unresponsive for a long time on the table. And he said, I stepped back, said, God, you didn't bring this boy to me to be unresponsive. You're going to show me how to get this boy right where he's supposed to be. And he goes like this. Now, I had to leave him open, you know. And then I don't know if it was 2 or 3 days, he went back and operated on him again. And that's when he come in and told me. He said, I told God that. He showed me. And you got to realize, I got a vast number of people working with me. He said, and they came into the operating room, and I could see they were raring to go, just raring to go. And he said, stop. We're going to do only what God has showed me to do and nothing else. Now, Parker was laying in the bed. He had some visitors, I think Sherry's granddaughters or daughters or somebody, granddaughters. And he said, and when he wants to go eat, he can walk with them right now, walk with them and go down the lunchroom and eat. God's got a great plan for us. He's got a great future for us. He wants you to know that he's on your side. He's for you. And the scripture says, if God can be for you, who can be against you? God is the God of miracles. I believe that's what he before. I mean, I've gotten discussions with people about miracles, and their attitude was, God don't do that no more. I said, he can't not do that anymore, because that's his nature to do that. What he did before, because the scripture says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Okay, I'm getting ready to close. How many of you will walk with me? Let's walk with God. Precious Lord, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth that keeps us all free. We thank you, Lord, for the nations, Lord. We thank you for Afghanistan. We thank you, Lord, that you created everyone that was ever created. That, Father, we place them in your hands. And we say to you, Lord, have your way. Have your way, God. We don't have to understand it. We just need to believe it. That you are in control. You're in charge. You're the controller.
You're Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Have your way. In this assembly here, God, go beyond these doors and touch whoever you want to touch, whether they be with us or not with us. Heal them, God. Heal them from not hearing your word. Heal them from not moving by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, grab hold of every one of us that needs you as Lord and Savior. Holy Ghost, do that which you've been sent to do. The word says you've been sent to convict. But after you convict, I know you have been sent to, Lord, to show forth the goodness of God. Lord, for how you do that. You have compassion. And you teach us how to have compassion. Have your way among us. Lord, the people that you've led our way that we never met before, whether it be in hospitals or other places, we thank you for them. We bless them, Lord. And we bless them for he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Father, have your way. And Father, we'll continue to give you the praise. We'll continue, Lord, no matter what we see, because we call those that are not as though they are. Have your way, God, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. If you want to come forth for prayer, come. If not, may God bless every one of you where you go.